Pod Culture, episode 273, TARDIS Interruptus, volume 9, for Wednesday, July 20th, 2011. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood. You are listening to Pod Culture.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Pod Culture. And as a special music there indicates, it's not your regular episode. Yes, we are back with a TARDIS Interruptus special. And this time on Torchwood Miracle Day. I think we've all seen the first episode at least. But who all do we have here? I'm Brad.
I'm Christine, and I have the hiccups. I'm really sorry.
I don't. I'm Andy.
I am Nick.
And I am Richard.
And Glenn, of course, is sitting out because he's not much of a Whovian. No. And Adam is off doing whatever Adam does.
I'm working on Glenn, though, trust me.
Being tall somewhere.
No kidding.
Getting Brad into trouble.
But yeah, we figure, you know, it's time. We haven't done a TARDIS Interruptus. And what better time to do that than at the start of a new Doctor Who sort of related series?
Well, it's started as a spinoff, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Torchwood Miracle Day. But first, what has everyone been up to, Andy?
Oh, me first. Well, one of the things I brought over for show and tell, you know, we're not really having show and tell, and I've spoken on this when I've been here in the past, George R.R. Martin has finally released a new book in the Game of Thrones, and I've spoken of this before. It was a miniseries that everyone loves.
He did.
And now everyone knows the joy of this. And so I will be reading that for the next few days. Hopefully getting that done. Well, okay, let's face it. Mrs. Freehold South, who reads much faster, will have this done in 2 days. I will take a week.
But there's so much to it. I think you should take
your
time.
Yeah, it's a rather hefty tome. He probably killed many a trees for that one.
But it's one of those, it is a book that will suck you in. And I like every other one, once I start, shut up. I'll eat later. One more chapter.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I know. I'm reading. I read the first book on the Kindle, and I'm about halfway through the second.
And I listened to the audiobook of the first, and I'm about halfway through the audiobook of the second.
But other than that, just a lot of Netflix, catching up on Netflix. It's quasi summer break.
We'll have to
I was
swap
complaining
lists.
About that. But oddly enough, with a TARDIS Interruptus episode, I've been watching a lot of the old Doctor Who because it started appearing on there.
Awesome.
I've caught up on all the new ones.
Nice.
Well, up to season one of Smith's reign. But then I went back and started watching just old ones without rhyme or reason.
Which ones?
See, I'm going to have to go. I knew I should have
written it down.
I should have written it all down because it's
just three
different
off the
doctors.
Guys.
Tom Baker. I don't know. I cannot come up with the names like you guys can.
What was he wearing?
These guys.
Older guy, white hair.
Pertwee.
Curmudgeon Pertwee, maybe?
Was it black and white or color?
It was color.
John Pertwee.
Pertwee. Okay, it was definitely Pertwee.
Velvet jackets.
Yes. Yeah. Okay,
he's
that was him.
Great.
And
that's my favorite.
It was the black and white, the guy, dark-haired guy.
Mo?
Patrick Troughton.
Troughton. Okay, yes, I've seen different ones of theirs, and I couldn't tell you titles off the
That's
top
okay.
of my head.
But did you enjoy them being primarily a New Who guy?
Primarily being a New Who guy, I only familiar with what I had seen on our public broadcasting stations with some of the I'm blanking on names.
Mostly
Tom Baker
stuff.
Tom Baker
and Peter Davison.
Mostly
yeah.
Tom Baker stuff. I'm now just going to appreciate any Who that I get.
Bring a hard drive over, we'll set you up.
I can give you a list too of recommendations from each of the doctors.
Well, there's a certain website I should visit. What is that website again?
Well, There is a fine retailer based out of Indianapolis called Who North America. And as part of his site, part of their site, part of their site has a, for their people who shop there, they have a forum. So you can go to www.huna.com. And while you do your shopping, make sure you check out the forum there.
And I can find out and see which, you know, it's been hit and miss. So I can say, okay, I've watched these and now I should try to find this with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Netflix has.
They've got a fair bit.
They do get the ones they release on DVD as become available. But my understanding from people who do Netflix is that it takes several months. For example, this week, The Gunfighters starring William Hartnell and The Awakening starring Peter Davison just came out this week on DVD.
So it'll be months.
So it will be a few months before they show up. I don't know which ones they've gotten most recently. But it does take quite a little while for the releases to hit Netflix, but they do get them.
So and they tend to cycle out.
Start to stream a story, hurry up and finish it, because you don't know.
Don't stop. Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, I have been pretty much mainlining a whole 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever episodes, and just finishing it and going on to the next one.
Well, most stories are 4-part stories, so they'll wrap up in about an hour and a half or so when you watch all 4 in a sitting. But there are some that are longer, that run 6 or 7 episodes.
I seem to have had one or two of those who are longer so far.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even though it may take you 2.5 hours. But if you got time to sit down and watch them all together, then that's fine.
Awesome. Nick, Richard, what have you guys been up to?
Well, I guess the most recent thing is we've been looking into, rewatching the last season of Doctor Who. I think refreshing our minds and I think frequently talking about it.
Last season, Matt Smith's first half of this year.
Okay.
Past season, I think mostly to catch up on it and to really make some decisions about some of the things in terms of the narratives, the plot structures, things that we've missed, and make basically something like a decision of whether or not we like the story or not. I think we're in their third run through, I think, watching these
from the beginning.
You have them. But I think as far as me, it's the third time watching through the season's worth of episodes just to catch up and see what's been missed. What did I overlook? What did I not hear? And then talking to myself privately in the car about why I like something and why I don't like something.
I totally understand that.
Talk to your dog?
She doesn't care.
Okay.
I've been also watching Babylon 5 again.
Nice.
It had been a while. We've been talking about it on the message boards at Huna. And so I just kind of got the bug to watch those again. So I've been doing that. I'm still watching the original Dark Shadow. So
nice.
when I get a little time here and there, I can watch an episode or two of that. Barnabas is now out of his coffin and wreaking havoc. Julia Hoffman has just showed up. So it's going to start cranking up pretty good. I still once in a while watch the original series Star Trek. Picked up some Roger Corman DVDs recently. Women in Cages. Pam Grier, prison movies.
Oh, my God.
They're wonderful.
All that Star Trek is on. Oh, the original series is on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Except with Netflix, at least with Enterprise, and I've heard this, they are with the other series, they have episodes mislabeled and flip-flopped. Season 3, like when we were watching Enterprise, they've got the first episode listed. But it's actually the second episode in the season, and the second episode in the season is actually the first episode you're supposed to play.
Yeah,
so they're mislabeling them out of order.
Yeah, I wouldn't know any better. So
I'm thinking they probably did some kind of crazy production order air date mess up kind of thing.
It'd be like watching Firefly the first time around.
Oh,
pretty much, yeah.
This makes no sense.
Pretty much, yeah. So
where's that girl in the box?
So, Christina?
As I said, I'm listening to Clash of Kings audiobook and loving it. I originally said I could not listen to it and work at the same time, but I got kind of hooked into it to where I didn't want to stop and I didn't want to have to wait till I was done working. So I've kind of forced myself to split my brain in half and be able to listen to the story and work at the same time. And I absolutely love it. It's fantastic and I'm totally sucked in. And I'm talking to my own old high school English teacher online about it because he just got his copy of the fifth book in the mail.
Dance with Dragons?
Yeah, and he said that he was expecting it to be like a smaller book, and he's like, it's like reading the family Bible. Like, it's huge.
It's bigger than number 4.
But, yes, I'm excited, and he's teasing me with lines of thought. He's not telling me anything, but he's kind of like testing my knowledge of story structure. Like he's testing me like I was in school, and I absolutely love it. It's fantastic.
Most people graduate and get the hell away from their teachers.
We were friends in high school and stayed friends ever since, and it's been, 20 years now.
Your teacher, wow.
Yeah. It's been fun, and you guys would get along so well. But, that's been it. Watching Enterprise with you and watching Deadliest Warrior on Netflix. Because I'm hooked on that show. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Science plus history equals a happy geek girl, like I said on Facebook. It's
done our best to try and break Netflix's algorithm. She said, we've been watching Star Trek Enterprise.
We're almost done, and I'm going to be so sad when it's over.
No, you won't.
It's not a
great... But I love Scott Bakula. No, I love Scott Bakula.
Yeah, it's not... It's not great. I'll be the first to admit it's not great, but it doesn't deserve the bad rap it really gets.
Well, it actually does get better just as it's starting to end.
Yeah.
Here's my thing,
and that's kind of the real bitch about it.
It's like with Star Wars. It's like I had nothing to compare it to when I saw The Phantom Menace, so... Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to complain about.
Oh, you started there?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lord. No wonder you're not a Star Wars
fan. I didn't have anything to complain about because that's where tragic. I started, because I love Liam Neeson. I didn't care about Star Wars. I just like Liam Neeson, so I'm like, oh, he's in a movie. I'll go see it.
Went out like a punk.
Shut up. And so, it's the same thing where I don't have... I mean, I've seen an episode or two of each of the other, shows, but I don't have, the huge... I wasn't... steeped in it like you guys were, so I didn't have anything to compare it to, so I'm enjoying it from the standpoint that I'm not screwed up with continuity. I'm not screwed up with I didn't
Boy,
mean it, you know. So no, but see, I don't understand, for me, I'm not upset by anything because I don't know any better, it's okay. I'm enjoying it.
It irritates me as a Trek fan. It irritates me about some of the mistakes or choices that they've made, but if I kind of try and sit that aside a little bit and look on it as...
If you see it from a standpoint of somebody who hasn't seen it before.
I look on it more as a prequel to the Abrams version of the Star Trek universe, then I can kind of fool myself into thinking that, then... Yeah, okay, I can take that and go away because...
And Scott Bakula is adorable.
And you gotta like a show that has a beagle as a recurring character on it.
Whatever happened to that dog?
Poor dog.
Yeah, he's on there.
Jeez. It's still being transported to some other planet.
Probably.
I don't know.
So, I think Scotty knows the answer to that.
He was played by a girl.
All right, let's take a break, and then we will get into our discussion of Torchwood Miracle Day, at least episode one, right after this.
Episode two airs tonight.
Do you want to come with me? Because if you do, then I should warn you. You're going to hear all sorts of things.
A very informal roundtable discussion.
Fans from the past.
I'll be the old classic series curmudgeon fan.
Australians from the future.
So the Australian is actually in Australia?
A guy from Kentucky.
I am not from Kentucky.
It won't be short, it won't be work safe, and it won't be on topic.
We're too lazy to bleep.
But I'll tell you what it will be.
It's not going to be your typical Doctor Who podcast.
The trip of a lifetime.
Because Daleks are still cuddly.
Everybody needs
pretty much
hooked reality.
From
I did
run.
Convince someone to knit a 14-foot scarf.
If ever meet Mark Gatiss, I'll
give
him a hug.
Yeah, since when does the master wear a hoodie?
They want you to think it's a doctor, and then it's wrong.
All the continuity gets her off.
But back to Doctor Who.
The Type 40 Podcast. Find us on iTunes or at www.thetype40podcast.com.
Alrighty, we are back and ready for our discussion of Torchwood, Miracle Day, Episode 1, The New World.
If you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it right now and come back.
Spoiler yes.
Alert.
Spoiler alert.
Big time spoilers. So, when CIA agent Rex Matheson investigates a global conspiracy, he finds himself unearthing a threat which challenges the entire human race. The answers seem to lie within an old secret British institute known only as Torchwood. But Torchwood was destroyed years ago, and the keys to the institute are held by its only two survivors. Former police officer Gwen Cooper, who has long since disappeared with her husband and child, and the mysterious Captain Jack Harkness, a man whose history seems to stretch back centuries. With Rex under attack from all sides in both the U.S. and the U.K., he soon discovers there are forces at work within every level of society, determined to stop Torchwood's return. As a chain of events across the world links together the most disparate and unlikely individuals, including a surgeon, a killer, senators, and CEOs, a new Torchwood team takes shape. But by this time, the threat is much closer to home, as they realize their greatest enemy is mankind itself.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. All right, so we, Christine and I watched it as it originally aired.
The same night.
That same night, yeah.
I made sure to stay up.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it, I'm not going to bed.
And, of course, Nick and Richard, being big Whovians, have watched Torchwood, and first chance to see it. You guys got to watch it tonight.
Yep. So
what did everyone think?
Wow. You know, it's funny how I don't see, like, there's a big bump in the road going from the British version into the U.S. version. It seems like it just carries on right through quite nicely. And it still has basically the same feel, the same look. It still has that nice pace to it. It doesn't really seem to have lost anything. So I'm still with it.
I'm fine with it. Kind of like what Rich was saying. Of course, it's still being produced by Russell Davies and Julie Gardner. So it's still the same people. But of course, only one episode out of 10. So they're still building the story up. But it's already got me hooked into it. So, as Torchwood does.
After Children of Earth?
Yes.
Am I blanking?
Yeah, you're right. Children of Earth.
After Children of Earth, I wasn't sure I could ever watch Torchwood again.
Neither was I, actually.
Mm-mm. And this for viewing tonight was my first viewing of this. Dang it! I may have to get Stars now to watch the U.S. version of it,
or just get a bigger bit pipe.
Yeah, some people like to support shows, Brad.
Or we'll just keep coming over here to Brad's and watch it.
There's that. Perhaps,
that'll work too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, the pacing is exactly the same. I just worry it's going to lose a little bit of its Welshness.
I agree.
As it were.
I agree.
That, we'll see. I don't know. The CIA being involved? Oh, come now. Really? But
I have faith in Russell and Julie.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah. It's one episode.
And hey, Dejan Lockman hadn't shown up yet.
Well put.
I was the same way like with you about should they go back to it. Because after the events of the second season where we lose Owen and Tosh, how do you go from there?
Oh.
And then you go to Children of Earth, which was
gut-wrenching.
A great story. Exciting, gripping, terrifying. And after the loss of Yanto and the destruction of the hub and them being on the run and being hunted down, it just... And with Gwen now married to Reese and they're having a baby, maybe they should have just let it go. It had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack
Jack is immortal.
Jack is too cool.
I had my doubts about it because that would have been a good closure. Because emotionally, after everything that's happened, why would Jack put more people in harm's way?
Right.
Why would Gwen want to go back to this? You know, it. Children of Earth was a high point of the three series that Torchwood had, and I just wasn't sure if it needed to be revisited. You know, sometimes a show should finish while it's still really good.
Right.
Now, I have faith this will continue and do well, despite being in America, because we had a tendency to screw things up over here.
Amen.
But I know how Russell runs his shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a control over it, and I'm sure it'll be fine. And everything I've heard from people who have seen, you know, people who are in the industry, they know, because, you know, I'm on the message board of the You-Know-What, but but there's a lot of good buzz about this, so I'm sure it'll be just as fantastic as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the premise is already great. I mean, people are not dying, which makes for interesting storytelling, but it's in the reverse. Jack can be harmed.
Right.
Jack cut himself, and it's not healing. So that puts Jack in mortal danger for the first time ever. at least since the parting of the ways,
right,
where the Daleks exterminated him and he came back thanks to Rose. Thank you, Rose. Love you.
Thank you, Rose.
So, so it already sets up for really high drama because the people who, like the Bill Pullman character, people are not dying and they should.
God, right.
It's throwing the balance of things off.
Right.
But you got our hero who is an immortal who might not be so immortal anymore.
Right.
So it's already setting up to be something pretty special.
But did they have to set off the story with the pedophile being from Kentucky?
Makes it, yeah.
Well,
you gotta be
from someplace. So, you know, if it was the West Virginians, they'd be pissed. If it was the Tennesseans, they'd be pissed.
Oh, I'm not pissed because I'm not from Kentucky. I just live here now.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. I shouldn't be mad either. But
I guess it could have been worse. Could have been justified.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you're going to have these stereotypes, so
they won't go away.
You know,
and
whatever.
He's clever. He's not a dumb redneck. He's clever and creepy in that Hannibal Lecter kind of way.
Oh, yeah, he's very Hannibal Lecter-ish.
I figure he had to be a social studies teacher the way he was sprouting off, you know, the Constitution.
Oh, that
you know you're going to need a character that's going to get it really big in the end anyway. So, I mean,
or
what a
walk
good setup.
Away.
He's been in prison. He's probably already got it big in the end.
Or be the, the only one to walk away. You know, yeah. Like Hannibal Lecter, you know, walked away.
I don't know. There's always some kind of catch in one of these programs.
He becomes a member of the new Torchwood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine that.
Don't see that happening.
Jack wouldn't let that happen.
But did you notice in the opening credits he was one of the first group of people listed?
Build.
Well, he's
Bill
one
Pullman.
Of the biggest American stars.
I know.
Yeah.
You never know.
So, yeah, but...
Did anyone else here, I don't know if you noticed, but when the start of this program started, and we got into it, I didn't seem to worry too much about the fact that the new Torchwood does not have Tosh and Owen and Yanto and all those. I forget about them, but it's kind of like just kind of nicely moved and segued in without worrying about some of the past characters, because now it just seems like it's all shouldered on Gwen, maybe Andy and Reese and Jack, and maybe because it's just funny. I didn't have an emotional attachment to drag them along necessarily. I think maybe enough time has gone by.
The show's
by.
Kind of changed itself. Well, I mean, right. Like Doctor Who changes a lot from Doctor to Doctor or season
I think that's
to
more
season.
Expected in Doctor
and
Who.
And they had that little bit of homage, too, where Jack introduced himself as Owen.
Owen Harper, FBI.
You know, and that little bit where the CIA girl said, you know, they all died and they all died young. You know, so there was that little bit of a nod to them without being too overly... dramatic.
Which is like saying Russell, because Russell, you know, gets a little self-indulgent. But yeah, you know, it's...
We're only one episode in so far.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I agree with Rich. It's kind of, you know, no disrespect to the characters we've lost, but
I miss them.
By just getting into the story rather than dwelling upon what has happened,
right?
We know what's happened.
Yeah.
We don't really need to have that baggage. And if you're new to the program, which a lot of people will be now that it's on Stars rather than BBC America here in the United States, that people are not going to know who these characters are. So it doesn't really serve anybody any point to drag them up and to rehash these sad losses the past couple of seasons.
And was it the Torchwood scenes in Doctor Who, or was it Children of Earth, where they were in the hub? And Gwen walks by, and on the computer is a picture of
Tosh.
Owen and Tosh.
Yeah.
That may have been in the Doctor Who finale in the fourth year.
Yeah, maybe because you walk by and kind of just like touches the picture and nods and
yeah, I
and
think
moves
that was
on.
There
was
because a... because continuity-wise, that would have fallen shortly thereafter, but before Children of Earth. So I think that was in Stolen Earth and Journey's End.
And then... the nice bit just with him bringing up the name Owen Harper.
Right.
Yeah.
Which kind of gets me to thinking a little bit with this whole bit with everyone dying and
now we're
being hurt and not really
not
healing.
If
I see an episode titled, they keep killing Owen instead of Susie, I'm out of here.
Because if
she's
you think,
fantastic. I
you
love
know,
her.
We never saw Owen's body.
I don't want to talk about it. That was the worst episode
but I don't get
ever.
The idea that the dead are coming back to life. It's just people
who are already,
who currently aren't dying.
Right, but he was, he was dead, but
right,
still functional. I mean, very much kind of like what
That's not what I thought it was. He's still conscious, didn't he? No.
Yeah,
he,
no. Well,
I thought he was entombed.
Entombed in the reactor.
It was
that he would go there insane, but they could never get him out.
It was leaking. I thought there was some kind of breach, like reactor breach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, maybe I should have watched Children of Earth before we did this to refresh myself.
Yeah, because we talked about this.
That was second season.
Yeah, that was the end of the second season.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I forget. Children of Earth was only the five episodes.
That wasn't horrible.
It wouldn't be that much of a stretch to pull a guy that's already dead but living.
They'd be better served not even going there.
Probably not. Yeah. No.
See, the thing is, too, is like I'm sure they're going to have more people since okay, we were the only ones that cheered, but when we went to see Transformers 3, they had a preview for Torchwood on the big screen. It was like
probably better than Transformers, like, wasn't it?
It was actually pretty good.
It was just so unexpected. I'm like, holy crap, it's Jack. Like, it was just so unexpected to see it on the big screen like that. And, okay, granted, yeah, we were the only ones that cheered. But hopefully that'll make somebody interested enough to watch it.
Right. And we got Jane Espenson from Firefly and Buffy and Angel. Mm. Dis and BSG, too, is writing for Torchwood Miracle Day.
John Delancey's in it at some point.
Really?
Nana Visitor's in it at some point.
I told you that.
You never listened to me. You know, all the trades have been writing it up, but whether it's Entertainment Weekly, TV Guy, they've all gotten really good, big spreads, big write-ups about the series. So hopefully it'll get discovered. People will go back and watch the first 3 years, and maybe that'll bring them into the show.
Maybe we'll get another, a fifth season of 10 episodes or something.
Perhaps.
If they can come up with a good story to arc through
as long
it all.
As I don't keep killing people off. Yeah. I love these characters.
There won't be anybody left. I mean,
see him killing Gwen off, but I could easily see him killing Reese.
Ooh.
They've already killed him once.
I don't really mind because it served. I mean, let's face it, we're all still emotionally impacted by the death so far.
Mm-hmm.
Torchwood. Oh, God.
We still miss. We still miss these people. Listen to that. Sorry.
It's true. I miss them.
If it's done
Do you love them?
I do love them.
Take a drink.
Take three drinks.
This all goes back to like the Doctor Who bit. It depends on which program you come in on that you attach your affections to. If you come in on the new Torchwood, it's really indifferent to anybody who has already seen the first round of the BBC version of Torchwood. You've already attached yourself to those characters. Mm-hmm. And now coming in on this one, and maybe because I'm older, I can watch the new one, not necessarily place all my attachment on the old one, and then pick up and move along, even though this is what's happened. There is a past to it. There is a continuity with it. But it's not that important that you have to bring it forward. There's no need to bring a personal attachment because it's pretty much done with. And just now, let's go forward. And I think it's been tactfully done because if I didn't even pay attention to the fact of Yanto and all them from the past series, either I'm stupid or it's a clever ploy of just nicely writing it in where I can just move right into the new show and not have a worry about it.
No, they do a good way of setting Miracle Day up to be a jumping on point for someone who knows nothing about this damn show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like how Jack is looking at people – kind of like the way he looked at people in the beginning of Torchwood the first season, where, he's looking at the medical examiner who mentions aliens, and he's got that little twinkle in his eye, like, maybe I can talk to him. Maybe he's one of us.
Maybe I can use him.
Right, exactly. So, like,
Jack just needs a date.
Yeah, well, Jack always needs a date, bless him. But
there's not a shortage of people.
I think, except for a couple of nitpicks, I was okay with it. Americans aren't stupid. We know where Wales is.
It's like freaking New Jersey is
that
to New York.
Pissed me off. So okay, Americans are not okay. Aren't stupid.
It's a stereotype.
But
if I'm from Kentucky and all Americans are idiots and don't know where Wales is.
And we marry our cousins.
It's like, oh my God. I was so angry the night that I watched it. I posted on Facebook that I was embarrassed to be American and in Kentucky. Yeah. It's like,
now I understand why.
Maybe just this character is an idiot. I don't like this guy in movies anymore.
No, the other guy, the other girls are okay. Everybody else seems intelligent, but he pisses me off. And I like Mekhi Phifer, so I hope he gets better.
Yeah, the one Ether? Esther?
What?
Esther, whatever her name is. Esther?
The blonde chick. Yeah, yeah.
Blonde chick who apparently not wearing functional
Which,
shoes.
Esther means star, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, if you're going out on a case, wear some more sensible shoes.
Flats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice calves.
She doesn't need to be showcasing going on the catwalk when she's on the job. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's heels, and then there's
Scully wore sensible
hooker
shoes.
Hooker heels.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well,
I said that. I said, look at her hooker heels.
Yeah, well, when you work for the government, I don't see that hooker heels is necessarily one of the requisites for your wardrobe.
It's like, maybe you could run away a little faster if you weren't wearing hooker heels.
Well, she's a desk jockey.
That's true too.
It seems like she's getting into a lot more. At least that's where it's going to go.
Where do we think this thing's going to lead?
Tears and heartache.
Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah, it's Russell.
Hey, the whole world had probably somehow inherited Jack's power of immortality
pain
and just got
misery.
Swapped.
Given Torchwood, it could
you never
be
know.
Well, he had, 800 years
of, Earth,
of being...
You know, was one of those things that just kind of made you scratch your head. Where did this come from? And even in the regular series, when they did episodic stories, you never could really guess where they're coming from. So I have no idea where this is going to go.
Wait a second. If God has a whole world in his hands, does he have a pair of risen mittens?
Stop it. Stop it. I miss Yanto. Go away.
Yanto, blessing.
So, you know, holding the whole world in his hands. Nobody's dying.
No.
Well, it's interesting because it looks to me, given Jack, that everything is just reversed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The immortal is hurtable.
And he had how many years of being immortal?
Are now not.
Mm-hmm.
Screwed.
So something has happened. Now, whether it's alien or what, of course it has to be alien because it's Torchwood. But who knows?
It has something to do with Jack returning.
And given the events, and like I just said, in the other two proper series and in Children of Earth, it's bound to be big. And it's bound to be dangerous. And it's bound to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bound to be dire consequences.
You know, Gwen's old partner even pointed out, you know, which is the idea of, you know, you've always asked the question, well, wouldn't it be nice if no one died anymore? No, it wouldn't. You know,
it's a curse.
Million extra people a day, basically.
Yeah.
Between
and you know how, yeah, Reese just seems
using
to get
up resources.
All,
yeah, well, you
know. And Reese is just completely oblivious to Gwen looking into that because that's precisely what the problem could be. And
right.
He's just like, well, I don't want you to get involved. And he just gets so bent. He doesn't see the bigger picture.
Right.
He's almost a very narrow-minded individual.
Well, no, Reese is
a
loving husband who's just tired of all this shit.
See, that's what I love, too. It's like everybody is all like, oh, you know, why would she go back? It's like, did you see the look on her face when she was telling Anne Wynn the story of one of the first episodes? She misses it. If you were a frumpy old housewife, wouldn't you miss Torchwood?
Well, I mean, you know,
someone, Christina, was you, pointed out, what was she originally?
She was a cop. Yeah.
She's
it's
got
like
that
to,
investigative.
And to have all
tick.
That that energy.
Cop with really
and to be
bad hair when she started.
And to be so good at that, to have to be.
That's her character.
To be
that's just
exiled
who she is.
In her little house, you know, feeding her baby. Yes, she loves her husband and her baby.
They had
but,
more guns than Glenn.
No,
and you see these wonders, and how could you go back?
How do you go
it's
back?
It's like in Doctor Who, in School Reunion,
it's like
where Sarah Jane and Rose are talking about these kinds of things. Like, once you see this. You know, how do you go back to being normal?
Eye. Right.
You know, Sarah Jane was waiting for the doctor to come back and get her.
Right.
He never did. Well, how do you go back to a normal life after
that?
That's
Reese's disadvantage. He either Gwen's not really telling him how she lives or what's going on because she always wanted to keep quiet about it.
Right.
Or he's just, I don't want to know. I don't care. I just want to have my relationship with you. That's it. But it comes across kind of selfish. But, you know, they chose each other.
Right.
Well, this is who Gwen is. I mean, you look at also with the proper series. If you look at the characters in Torchwood, she was the one at the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
She was the heart. She was the one that held the group together.
Right.
Torchwood was really just as much hers as it was Jack's. Jack may be the leader, but at the center of Torchwood is Gwen. She's the nurturer. She's the mother. She's the one that seemed to be
Jiminy
the focus.
Cricket.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
She sees the world in crisis. She has experience in dealing with these kinds of things.
Right.
She can't help but want to get involved somehow.
You can't shut that off. Even if you're, you know, exiled to a little house on the hill, you can't shut that off.
You know, I think Reese really does understand that. But now that they've got a family, now that they're married, now that it's done, let's try to have our quiet life together because I want to be with you. I don't want to see you in danger. I don't want to have our child endangered. I want us to go back to having a normal life. But in reality... you know,
she can never have a normal life again.
You can't have that. Oh. And I see where Reese is coming from, and I understand. I agree.
Right.
But in reality, there are things greater going on right now mm-hmm. than you. Some things are bigger than you, bigger than your family,
right.
bigger than your relationships. And Jack, that's what she has to do.
Jack is like the doctor in the sense that he's not always going to be around, at least. But now if there's a world in a crisis, who else are they going to defer to? It's going to be Gwen, because right. she was the last one involved with an agency that dealt with all this sort of stuff. It kind of makes a default to Gwen.
How she's
more so than
her
Jack.
Dad that it's just me now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just me now.
In, towards the end of this first episode, when they're all gathered in that spot, she really does take on that leadership role. She starts almost, you know, all right, this is what we have, and this is what we have. And Jack's just kind of leaning back, looking at his bruise.
Right.
You know, and she's just going.
And she's got that twinkle back in her eye again, like, it's going to be all right. We're going to fix it.
Yeah, did I miss something about the bruising that you speak of? That Jack showed bruises on his side, and the other girl started. Oh,
yeah, it's because they hit her out of the window and
she
landed.
Has all right, that she doesn't know because of the.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
How did she get this?
She got
retconned. Okay, that too. Like for continuity's sake, like I don't know how much of the stuff he had to give her to make her go to sleep that fast, but everybody else, it seemed like. You were okay, and then you went to bed, and you woke up and didn't remember anything that happened the night before.
No,
but she went to bed.
I remember it hitting Gwen.
Gwen got home and she started typing out the story of what happened.
Oh, she had to force herself to stay away,
right?
For the longest time.
I guess it's plutonium. Well, you know, drugs do affect everybody different.
True.
So. I would like to.
She is a skinny little girl.
It's true.
She didn't have enough body weight to accommodate the alcohol.
In my dream world, little Anne Wynn, since Gwen was pregnant when she was on the Rift, in my dream world, Anne Wynn's got superpowers.
Okay, like, you're not talking like Baby Time Head.
No, I don't even want to talk about Baby Time Head. Something good, like a good storyline. A clever storyline.
Okay, let's get into that another episode.
That's another episode, yeah. Just wait. That's
or they've
going.
Already heard that. So, or something.
Timey-wimey.
Yeah.
With time travel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything's up for grabs.
I thought it was a solid open. I'm looking forward to seeing how things go from here. And, you know, being the Dollhouse fan, I'm looking forward to Deidre Lachman.
I'm looking forward to seeing her get decked.
That was a great moment of the trailer.
It was in the trailer.
You're the best England has to offer. Actually, I'm Welsh.
Bam! She decks her right in the face. It was great.
It was very, very
like,
awesome.
Like, Gwen is such a badass. It just makes me happy.
Listeners, what did you guys think of the first episode or what's gone on so far? Give us a call on the voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4763. Odd.
I like how Anne Wynn was smiling when Gwen was holding her and she was shooting out the window and baby's got the blanket over her head with the earmuffs over the blanket and the baby is smiling like it's going to be all right. It was awesome.
It was fun.
My mommy's a badass. All right.
She'll grow up to be just like your mom.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, ready to call it an episode, gang?
It's an episode, Brad.
All right. We are out of here.
Cheers.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness. When I was a freshman, our English workbook, our teacher, he said, go to page 60. No, rip out. Page 1. To page 60, like, so we ripped out half the book, and like we were like, he's so cool.
Okay, Christina, give me a mic check, please.
Hello, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm checking the mic, and it sounds okay to me. How's it sound to you?
Yeah, well, it's looking like the blue marks. Alrighty, I can tell you're giggling by the blue marks.
All righty.
Andy.
Testing. I have the sub mic. Yep. Do I have blue marks?
You have the Black Lantern mic. Nick?
I love boobies.
You probably need to turn the mic on.
Thanks. He still loves boobies.
I still love boobies.
Give me a little bit more.
He'll get louder okay. when you get the credit.
How you do? This is Nikki D up over here in the hood. You may call me Sea Devil if you wish. That is my handle.
That you roll?
That's how I roll.